Good morning, Vanderhoof Baptist. I'm so glad that you took a few moments out of your time today to stop and listen to this sermon. My title this morning is It's Not a Magic Formula, But a Lifestyle. It's not a magic formula, but a lifestyle. Those of you who have raised children, or if you come from the perspective of being a child, you know, as parents, if we truly love our children, if we have a heart for them, we want them to find good. Ultimately, we want them to find joy in their life. So as they're growing up, we work hard towards giving them instruction, giving them direction, sometimes even attempting to help them find friends, help them select the proper job they take, the college courses they should take. We try to give them guidance with the intention of we want them to find joy. Matter of fact, I think many of us, we might even say we want our kids, we want their lives to be even more joyous than ours. You know, the Bible says that Jesus wants the same things of us. John 15:11 says, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Jesus wants your joy to be full. Now, in the context of this scripture, if you go back in John 15, you'll see he's talking about his commands, the commands from God. He speaks about the value in these things and following them and putting them into practice in our lives. And he says, this is what will bring you joy. But it's not a magic formula. It's a lifestyle. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 this morning. If you have your Bible and you want to take a moment and turn with me, a couple of verses that I have read many times in my life. I feel the need to go back to them from time to time. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom. Not only the wisdom that would help us understand your direction, but the wisdom that would guide us to follow it, to put it into practice. Help us to hear. Give us a stronger desire. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy that you've given us. We thank you for giving us a desire to want to know you, to want to follow you. Now help each of us to take some time now as we ponder this message and set aside all of the things that are happening in our lives and the world around us and just simply relax and listen as you speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's not a magic formula, but a lifestyle. See, I see four things that really sticks out in these two verses. That is, trust in the Lord. Secondly, lean not unto your own understanding. In all things, He shall direct you. And trust in the Lord. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. and he shall, or he will make straight your paths. The first point there, speaking and trusting in the Lord. I think we can go back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. Four words that begin in the English Standard Version. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. I think we need to be reminded that He was there in the beginning. He spoke and it happened. He created. We need to worship the one who created us. We need to be careful that we don't get bogged down in the midst of the challenges of our day-to-day activities and all of the sounds and all of what's coming at us, everything that seems to be bearing down upon us, that somewhere in the midst of it we forget that He created. We need to trust Him. We need to look upon Him as our Heavenly Father. And listen, I know some of us, we didn't necessarily have great fathers. Understand, He wants to be a great Father to you. But in order for you to obtain what it is that He wants you to have, you've got to trust Him. We've got to look to Him for guidance. Now that doesn't suggest that we should never talk to anybody else. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 15:22 even speaks of listening or gathering others to talk to. He says, Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So it doesn't preclude the idea that we should never talk to anybody else, but ultimately we should take our plans. I believe it was James that simply said, if thy will. We look for God's will in the midst of our struggles and attempting to figure out what our next step is in life. But it should not just be a formula to get us out of the mud. It should be a formula that we practice on a regular basis to keep us out of the mud in the first place. Second point, lean not. Lean not. He says that we should do not lean on your own understanding. How many of you here this morning would be willing to admit that you've done things that you're not proud of? You've done things that brought problems into your life. You've made mistakes. You've listened to the wrong voice. We sometimes are our own worst enemy. Jeremiah speaks to this, Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. And really, Jeremiah is talking about the context of this scripture is people worshiping other gods. But understand, this is just talking about us worshiping anything and putting anything above God. Not putting God in a proper seat of our lives as far as our decision making goes. And it's not just about worshiping a physical thing, but it's worshiping something other than or being led by something other than God Himself. And the focus point here is we shouldn't even trust in ourselves. Jeremiah 10, he reminds us, Jeremiah 10 verse 12, it is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by understanding stretched out the heavens. And he goes on talking about what God has done. And I want to jump down to verse 14. Every man is stupid and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his images are false. There is no breath in them. Jeremiah is making it clear, and I'm telling you, we all have moments in our lives where we are, as man puts it, stupid and without knowledge. We got to recognize that we don't have everything within ourselves to truly make the best decisions. This is why we got to be careful about leaning upon our own ability to make decisions. We have a God who created us. Why wouldn't we look back and listen to the one who created us? And thirdly, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 reminds us that in all your ways, acknowledge Him. You see, we're being reminded that this is not a magic formula, but a lifestyle. It's a process. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. This is not about just going to Him for one moment to ask one question, to deal with one issue. It's talking about having a lifestyle where we acknowledge Him in all that we do. We acknowledge Him in all that we do by putting into practice the commands that I spoke of earlier, that helps us find joy. As we are obedient to God the best way we know how, as we listen, as we respond to Him, we put ourselves in the best position to be able to hear clearly as He speaks. In all your ways. We have a tendency sometimes to compartmentalize our lives. We have a life in our house. We have a life in our workplaces. We have a life in the church. We have a life in our Sunday school class. We're one person here, we're another person there. Our life should reflect that we're worshipers of God, that we desire to honor Him in whatever place we are. We should acknowledge Him in everything that we do, whether it is in your hobbies, whether it is in what you read, what you watch, what you do to earn money, and yes, of course, in your process of actively worshiping Him. All aspects of your life. Jesus is not asking you just to give Him a few minutes on a Sunday morning. If you want to find joy, He's saying, give all of your life to Me. All. Put it all before Him. Matthew 10:39, Jesus says, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for My sake shall find it. And again, in the context of this scripture, He's talking about taking up our cross. Think about what Jesus did in the process of taking up that cross. It was a hard thing. It was a thing that was more for others than it was for Himself. And yet Jesus is saying, in the midst of us taking up our cross, we will truly find life as God intended us to have life. Yes, it is a mystery, but yet it is true that it is in giving up power over our own lives and giving it over to God, that we truly find the life that He intended us to live, that He created us for, that will guide us to the joy that He has in mind for us. And lastly, I want you to note that He says in verse 5 and 6, He will make straight your paths. In other words, He'll give you clarity and your decision making. Again, keep in mind, this is not a magic formula, but a lifestyle. He will direct you. But I think it's important to understand that in order for us to get into that position where we can hear from Him and hear clearly, we need to be trusting. We need to be not leaning upon our own plans. We need to be giving Him everything, all aspects of our life. And it is when we are doing this in the process of this and regularly practicing this that we will find some clarity in our decision making. In Matthew 6 and 33, Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." In a sense, Jesus is saying, don't aim for the problem necessarily. Aim for the process of doing what it is that you know you ought to be doing. Listen, there's going to be many challenges that you'll come across in your life that are not clearly spelled out in the Bible. Not directly. It doesn't specifically. It didn't tell me when I should or if I should go to college or what courses I should take. It doesn't tell me exactly what job I should take. It doesn't tell me specifically who I should marry, what house I should buy. There are so many things that are not specific. But it's in these things, all of these things, that we ought to lay them before God and seek His direction. And if we've done all these, if we've done our homework, if we've put these things into practice, Jesus says He shall direct us. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And in a sense, He says all things are being taken care of. Again, the context of this is about worrying, the anxiety that we inevitably have in our lives. He says, listen, do all these things. Do those things that you know are right. And you will be given some clarity in those things that aren't so clear for you. God is attempting to speak to your heart today, tomorrow, the rest of your life. So how does God speak to us today? God has spoken in so many ways. We can read in the scriptures how He spoke through angels. He spoke through prophets. He spoke through a fire by night and a cloud by day, directing Israel. And I might want to say to you this morning, I'm a little bit biased, right? I might want to say the only way God speaks to you is through a pastor who's well-educated and loves the Lord and he's got it all figured out. But I'm continually reminded that God also speaks or can speak, has spoken through a donkey, if you know your Bible. Balaam got a message through a donkey. God sometimes speaks through pain. We see many times the nation of Israel, whether it was pain they brought upon themselves or pain that was coming down upon them, God sometimes, I'm not saying every time, but sometimes God can speak to us through pain. And yes, God can speak to us through blessings. Is God attempting to speak to you this morning? Are you listening to Him? Are you seeking out an answer to a challenge in your life? Understand, it's not a magic formula, but a lifestyle that brings these answers. I want you to seek to trust your Heavenly Father this morning. As a child who has a loving parent comes to trust that parent. Think of your Heavenly Father as carrying you upon His shoulders. Would just allow Him to place Him up there and trust that He's not going to lead you astray. It is not a magic formula, but a lifestyle. When we intentionally choose to say, "You are my God, how now should I live?" It is then when we are going to truly hear with clarity from our Creator. Let's pray. Father, if there be anybody out here this morning that's listening to this message, that is truly in the midst of a challenge that they do not have clarity, let this be the day that they obtain some clarity. Lord, if there be, and Lord, I know this speaks to all of us, each of us. If there are some things in our lives that we need to adjust, that we need to stop doing, that we need to start doing, Lord, give us clarity on what those things are so that we can put our lives in the best position so that we may hear clearly when you speak. Lord, I ask you to bless each person that's listening to this message. Bless their families. Lord, we ask you to guide our country, our governmental leaders, the leaders of the world. Help them to make the right decisions, to get us through what we're dealing with today. And Lord, we hope and pray that as we come out of this, as we once again begin to regather together in that beautiful building, that we'll come to have a greater appreciation of the time that we can have together. But Lord, praise you that we can worship you in our homes, in our workplaces, and in our cars. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.